Abang kan terbalik.
No. Okay. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Just nice, huh? About 8 then. You want to light the candle? Very cheap and you light. It's very cheap. Never mind. You prepare the candle and the incense for him to light. Sadhu. Oh, thank you. Sadhu. Sadhu. Passed to my wife. Sadhu. Oh, Rajiv, we need you to help light the candle so that we can start the puja. So you all can stand, huh? Okay. Anyway, you all light. You are the host. You are the host. Don't worry. Like, where's the incense? Yeah, you need the incense. Yeah. Okay. Now you complete the offering. Okay. Sadhu. No. You light the rest first. Light, then we offer the tray first. Put the candle down. Light this one, then light the tray, because we have to offer the tray first. The whole tray, the incense, clear water, and the trace candle. Good. Left with the incense. Sadhu. Okay. The whole tray. This one is quite soft. Okay. Envy, you carry out the whole tray, offer, then pass to Jim. Sadhu. Slowly. Never. Sadhu. No need the vase. Sadhu. sadu, 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 sadu. Never mind, offer at the table. Just put it on the table. We just offer together. Put it anywhere on the table. Sadu, 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 sadu. Okay, we still got to offer this one. Just now they forgot this one. Sadu, sadu, sadu. Okay, thank you. Yeah, you can visit that. Okay. So develop your sadha, your faith, then compose your mind. Then we will start salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha before we start our puja. The Buddha Rupang, there's one there. There's one at the back too. There's one here and there's one there. So any direction you can face. Okay. We can recite. I will face this one. You all can face anyone. Up to you. The best is all turn this direction. To the main altar where the offering is. Okay, we will do the usual Thai tradition salutation. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho saṅghaṁ namāmi. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will start the puja chanting. Turn to page 4. You got a spare chanting book? Okay, take from there. There's an extra there. Mm-hmm. Okay, turn to page 4. We will start off with the salutation. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānāti pātā vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādīna dāna vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrā mērayā majjhāpamādatthana vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Okay, we are now chant the Patipā Puja, which is offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganna sambarayutena dopenahang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhaja namottamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe. Pujemi buddhaṃ kusumena nena punnena mattena ca hotu mokkhaṃ pupaṃ milayati idaṃ ihaṃ me. Kāyo tattāyati vināsa bhāvaṃ ādivāsetu no bante. Paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hotu muttamang. Now turn to page 18, the last page. We will do the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of light, offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition possible. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas of powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax yourself, maintain some form of mindfulness or attentiveness. Then, before we start our meditation today, oh, you still got 20 minutes to meditate, don't worry. But before we start today, because it is our second Thursday class session at Brother Jim's house and Sister Ingby's house, so we'd like to thank them for allowing us to use this beautiful house to allow us to have this Thursday class sharing. Yeah, come and join us. We haven't really started. We just about to start. Come, join us. This one is the mother and daughter. What's her name? Ah, Tammy. I remember now. Tammy. and the mother. So we welcome all of you to Brother Jim. Sister Amy's house, like the previous Thursday, we already have the joy when we can come over here to have our Thursday class sharing, and it also bring about a lot of wholesomeness to all Kanyanamitas. This is a good synergy. Then I think Sister Amy is very sincere. So it so happened, Brother Suyan and Mifong, they are taking their daughter to visit Hong Kong and Macau. So that's why she saw the opportunity, so she made the request. I say, very good, I rejoice. So that's why we can be here. These are the condition. So at first, as usual, like we say, but you're my house, well, I say you don't worry. Your house is very beautiful, unique in your own way. It is not what you see physically, understand? It is the people who stay here. The cultivation, the vibration, the energy that you can give to this way place. That is the one that is more beautiful, more meaningful. Otherwise, people get interested only in beautiful, nice, big houses. But you go in, you don't feel much, understand? And this one different. You come in, you feel there is something different here. So that's why tonight, hopefully, like the previous Thursday, you make full use of this place to develop your meditation. Okay, maybe now we can off the light. Those who already know how to meditate, you can start your meditation straight away. Then for those who are new, oh, they are new. You meditate before? Oh no, I must get you the blue book. I don't know whether I got or not. You don't have to remember anything. You just pay attention, listen, then later on, we will give you that blue book, which is a guide for developing this meditation. I don't have it here. Maybe I get Brother Song to give it to you later. If at Sui An's house, then we have. Otherwise, I must next time drive my car. My car at the back of the circle. So you don't worry. I'll give you the seminar paper I delivered in Bangkok. That will help you to understand the Buddha Dhamma. Then how it can help you to develop the understanding of life, to live life, and to become real human beings, beautiful human beings. The other book, the blue book, Understanding of Meditation as taught by the Buddha, will teach you how to meditate and how to develop the understanding of this meditation that the Buddha has given to the world. Okay, anyway, I will give some instruction for you to train your mind. Can we off the light? Where is the switches? Ingvi, we need you to off the light. All the light. Okay. Sorry. That's why you need the owner. The owner will know which light. Okay. I can already, I think. It's okay. Outside light, no need to off. Outside light, no need to off. Okay, I think it's okay. Off one enough. Off one. Okay. Silence your mind. Relax body and mind. Then maintain silence. According to the Buddha, the reason why your mind is not peaceful is because you have these mental hindrances. There are five mental hindrances the Buddha mentioned clearly in the teaching. He said because throughout the day, you don't have mindfulness. You don't have the spiritual faculty. That's why you think a lot and you become heedless. And through your heedlessness, these five mental hindrances constantly arise. And you keep repeating it until it becomes habitual. These five mental hindrances are called pancha nivaranas. The first two are sensual desire and ill will, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience that you react to every day. Since they are hindrance, the moment you have this mind state constantly arising, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative calmness, the meditative peace. Then you cannot meditate. So that's why they are called mental hindrance. These are hindrances that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So we need to be aware of this. The other three hindrances are sloth and torpor, which is sleepiness, lethargic mind. When you don't understand what you are doing, you don't see the importance of developing this training of the mind to meditate. then you will be sleepy. You cannot do well, and you cannot develop the progress. The fourth one is very common among human beings. The Buddha say is a restlessness of mind. The mind become restless, and the main reason why it's restless is because when you live your life, you confront many problems and life situation that demands you to act, and instead of acting, you develop fear, worry, anxiety over this problem. Your sorrow, your lamentation, so all this will make you restless. Your mind worry a lot, panic a lot, have a lot of fear. Then the worry lead to anxiety. That's why it become restless. You are not peaceful. Then the last one is doubt. You are not sure, not confident of what is happening. You don't understand life. You don't have faith in even yourself or any religious teaching. So because of that, this mind develops the five mental hindrance and it cannot meditate. So whole of meditation is to train your mind to overcome these mental hindrances. The Buddha said you don't have to fight them, you don't have to suppress them or control them. You only need to be aware of them. Then you only need to train your mind to develop the five opposite spiritual faculty. The spiritual faculty are Saddha, which is your faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Virya, the spiritual zeal. Then Sati, mindfulness. That's why we train our mind to be mindful, to be heedful. Then stabilize it to become Samadhi. Then when you have Sati and Samadhi, you can see things as they are clearly. And you can develop wisdom, which is the last of the five spiritual faculties. When these five fall into place, the hindrance will cease to be. Then you can meditate very easily, naturally. That's why our opening puja and the puja chanting is to develop the spiritual faculty, the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. That's why we chant. Then later on, after the meditation, we will do the invocation to the devas, and we will again will chant the salutation to the Buddha. Recall to mind who the Buddha is, how wonderful and unique a being he is. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened. Then we also chant the salutation to the Dhamma, the uniqueness of the teaching, how it can bring forth enlightenment to liberate our mind so that we don't have to suffer anymore. Then we chant the salutation to the Sangha, which is the third of the Triple Gem. These are the Aryan disciple of the Buddha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha who has already developed the understanding of the Dhamma. Then we understand the importance of training this mind to develop the same enlightenment so that we too can become enlightened beings, noble ones. So all this will develop the faith. Then it will drive you when you understand how unique this teaching of the Buddha is and how special a being he is. So the spiritual zeal, the second spiritual faculty, will develop. Then when you learn how to silence your mind in meditation, you develop sati. Then when you pay respect, you do it mindfully. Body and mind move as one with the faith. You will become different. You will train that mind to have more and more moments of mindfulness instead of heedlessly thinking and lost in thought. So now I will teach you a skillful means, because most of you who are new, you may not have developed the spiritual faculty, so your mind has a lot of mental hindrance. It cannot be peaceful. So I will teach you a skillful means which we call mind sweeping method combined with loving kindness or metta to actually decondition your heedless thinking so that you will develop more and more inner peace, inner well-being, leading to the mindfulness that you need to develop. And this training is very useful and it's very easy to do. Okay, now relax body and mind. Make sure you have a stable posture. Then straighten your backbone. Then breathe in, breathe out naturally. Then relax body and mind, silence everything, then maintain attention or mindfulness at your forehead. Just feel, don't think, feel. If you can detect any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just silence your mind and relax into it. Relax, relax and relax. Feel it soothingly and relax. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Relax every strand of the eye muscle. Then you sweep it through your facial muscle. Feel and relax each and every facial muscle. To help you relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy. Then you are naturally relaxed. That's why that relaxation will happen naturally. Then after that, you can recite, follow what I recite to develop the inner well-being. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the inner well-being and inner happiness within yourself, within each and every bodily cells of yours, within your entire form and mind, the whole of your being. You can repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy, free of all suffering, both mental and physical suffering, free of all harm and danger. May its mind state still, be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can relate the same metta to all your loved ones. May my loved ones all do be well and happy, free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate the same metta to all beings within this vicinity. Oh, Brother Chim and Sister Yingbi's house. And all Kayanamitas who are meditating together. May they all to be well and happy. Free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can continue with this metta to all beings within the whole of Subangjaya, Selangor or State, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, and our Mother Earth, then all beings within the solar system, our Milky Way, our galaxy, then extend it to the whole of the universe. May all beings throughout the entire existence all to be well and happy. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can return to your facial muscle. Just feel, silence everything and feel. Feel it suddenly relax, then sweep it down to your neck, your shoulder, your hand, back to the shoulder. Just feel and relax, don't think. Then move your attention to your heart area or your chest area. silent everything. You can detect any vibration within your heart area or your heartbeat. You just silent everything and stay there. Yeah. This is the most important location within your body because this is where your heartbeat arises and passes away. This is where your life force arises and passes away. This is the seat of consciousness. From here, from your heart, you develop consciousness. You become conscious because of the life force, the karmic force, the supportive karma. So all this, when you meditate, you will come to understand. Then you just relax everything and just silent and feel. You cannot detect because you are new, you are not sensitive, it's okay. You just feel your heart area. Just like you feel your forehead, just feel, relax every part within the heart. All the muscle within the heart area, relax, relax, and relax. Feel it soothingly, relax, and maintain the inner peace and the inner calmness. Then you move your attention down to your stomach. You just silent everything and feel, then relax. Move it to your abdomen, do the same. Silent everything and just feel, then relax. Move it to your leg, do the same. Feel, relax, buttock, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole of this mind sweeping method from the leg to the buttock, feel, relax, then abdomen, feel, relax. No more thinking. Stomach, feel, relax. Heart area, feel, relax. Shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, neck, feel, relax. Then facial muscle, feel and relax every part. Eye muscle, do the same. Forehead, do the same. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. There is little no thought. This is sati, this is mindfulness, this is inner peace, leading to inner well-being. The byproduct of meditation is very important. Inner peace leading to inner well-being can bring about good mind state, good vibration. It can help you overcome your fear and help you recuperate from your stress and your tired day. This is a very good way to actually develop peacefulness of mind, clarity of mind, silent mind, to recharge yourself, to develop the inner peace, leading to inner well-being. Then when you have this, you need to stabilize this mind state, which the Buddha calls sati or mindfulness. When your mind is silent without thought, it is in sati. Then you just aware, maintain that awareness within. But without training, without the spiritual faculty, most people cannot do it. That's why all meditation, they will teach you a method or technique to stabilize this mindfulness. They call it the object of meditation. The Buddha has recommended anapanasati, so I will teach you how to develop anapanasati to stabilize your mindfulness. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is just to train your mind to be mindful of the in and out breath, because your breathing is very neutral, always within the moment. So when you can be aware of the breathing without thought, you are in the present moment awareness. That's how you stabilize it. Then like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Maintain attention in front of your breathing. The moment you detect your breathing, like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. So your awareness, which is your mind, and the breathing, they are in perfect harmony or synchrony. That's what anapanasati is all about. So initially, if you are new, it's not easy. You will come to realize, split second, the mind wanders off. But don't worry, the Buddha said, expect this mind to wander off many, many times. Because the untrained mind think a lot, heedless. you got no stability of mindfulness to develop this anapanasati. So if you are patient, if you continue to train, then sooner or later, within short moments, sometimes 10 minutes or 15 minutes, the mindfulness will come. Then you will experience a type of joy they call piti. Piti is a type of spiritual joy, spiritual rapture, spiritual calmness, born of training the mind to be mindful, to be in sati without thought. Then you continue to relax into it and allow it to be. But piti will again continue to transform to become sukha. Sukha is a very much more refined state of piti. Then you become very blissful. Your breathing all might become long breathing with a lot of clarity. Then you experience a very blissful mind state they call spiritual bliss or mental bliss. Then you continue to stabilize this piti and sukha. You will transform further and you continue to relax into it. Then it will transform and become pasati. Pasati is a silent mind, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind. This is the meditative mind. This is the mind that has got no thought. It is fully aware, silent and still. This is the one that can develop wisdom or insight into phenomena. To realize there are three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self. Especially impermanence, starting with impermanence, you will come to understand all phenomena, may it be physical, mental or nature's phenomena, they exhibit these characteristics. But you need to have mindfulness to understand all this. So now I will let you train your mind. For those who already know how to meditate, you just silent, relax and aware. Then you can maintain the awareness to develop wisdom or understanding. You will see very clearly within your meditation how the mind arises and passes away, how feeling arises and passes away, how consciousness arises and passes away, how the mental intention condition the content of consciousness, how your wrong view condition you to stir your mind, to have all the like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, and all the duality reaction of mind or stirring of the mind. All this you will come to see and understand. Then the essential Dhamma, like the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self, you will start to experience them. Then the five mental hindrance, you start to witness them. The spiritual faculty, the seven factors of enlightenment, you will start to experience them, depending on your meditation. Then if you are silent more and more, you will see the dependent origination, how you function as a human being. Then you also experience the Four Noble Truths, what constitutes suffering. How when you lack right understanding or right view, the mind perceives things with negativity. It cannot see things as they are. It arises the evil roots and perceives things with negativity. That's how suffering comes about. When you perceive things with negativity, there is attachment, there is craving, there is clinging, there is grasping, there is wanting things your way. You cannot be at peace with the reality, with the phenomenal, with whatever that arises within your sense experience from your mind. So all this is what mindfulness can develop, to develop the understanding. This is what vipassana is all about, to insight into the characteristics of nature, of all phenomena. Okay, now I will leave it to you to meditate, maybe in about 5 to 10 minutes. I will ring the bell, then you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay. For those who already have enough, yeah, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. Yeah? Okay. Now we will do the invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6 of the chanting book. I will read to you the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the devas and deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching or the doctrine or the king of sages which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Okay, today the mic is not functioning, so I will chant. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadamang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhammasvanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhammasvanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhammasvanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Punya Sadamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Pasiko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabu Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to the triple jammer. Betang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay. You can be seated. Yeah. We will now continue with our second session. Second session is meditation, reporting, and question and answer. You can report your meditation, then I will guide you along. Then you can also at the same time ask any question regarding the meditation or the teaching, the Dhamma. And lastly, of course, how to apply what you have learned here, to help you understand the teaching and also overcome whatever life situation and problem that you encounter. We are applying this understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. Okay, now we open it up to the floor. Anybody want to report their meditation? Tonight you don't worry, it will not be recorded what you say. But that wireless mic is not functioning, so you can ask anything or report anything. Anybody? As usual, all very quiet. Anybody wants to report their meditation, that will be very helpful, very useful, because it can set off condition for Dhamma to flow. All very quiet. I saw Inglian close the eyes smiling. Inglian, you sure got something. Anything you want to report or ask any question up to you. Oh, okay, very good question. You see, tomorrow, Friday, I will give a talk in your Tiratana Center, MBC. Then Brother Gan has given me four topics. All the four topics are more or less related on. The last one was the best. He said, how to tame our monkey mind in the year of the monkey. So that title is quite interesting, The year of the monkey, then you realize your mind also like the monkey. So he wants to know, how can we tame this mind? So what you want is, how do we build up our faith? When you have this faith, what happened to you? You will have no more doubt on the center. Then you will be very calm, very composed, very peaceful. That's why that mind will not be a monkey mind anymore. That's why spiritual faculties are very important to overcome the thinking mind, the heedless mind, the mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why spiritual faculties are very important. Okay, so according to the Buddha, you can contemplate on the nine great virtues of the Buddha so that you can have real faith, very strong, unshakable faith in him and his teaching. The reason being, if you don't have the understanding of who he is, how special a being he is, and how wonderful this teaching is, your faith is blind faith. Understand? And blind faith cannot be strong, cannot be stable. So if you want to generate this very strong faith, you have to be very serious about understanding who he is and what he teaches. It's only when you understand who the Buddha is, then only there is this very strong faith that will arise. Then when you understand how wonderful the teaching is, you will become even more convinced, and your faith in him become like unshakable, in the sense that you will develop a lot of gratitude and respect for the Buddha. Because finally you will come to know who the Buddha is. Who is the Buddha? I ask you the question now. Who is the Buddha? Why do you call him a Sammasambuddha? So who is he? Don't tell me the history. He is Prince Siddhartha, born in the year, what a year. That one will not give you much faith. But who really is Sakyamuni Buddha, Sammasambuddha? Who is he? Based on your understanding. So that you will go in deep, so that your faith will be strong. Try to answer. From your understanding to all the Dhamma you have studied, what is your understanding of who Sakyamuni Buddha is? Who is he? Yes. Correct. So he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born in this world during his time. So such a being are very rare, understand? Even if you can get the wisest in this planet Earth, you as your teacher, you already should count your blessing and so on and express your gratitude towards that teacher. But this one is not only on planet Earth, no, on the whole universe, including all the devas, all the higher beings. Because of his nine great virtue, he has this nine great quality that make him stand out. And the reason why he can become like that is because of his eons and eons of cultivation and perfection. And all this accumulate until he realized Sammasambuddhahood. Sammasambuddhahood means he is the fully enlightened one. He's not only enlightened, complete in enlightenment. Means he has perfected everything that is possible to be perfected by living beings. All aspects of wisdom and virtue, he has perfected them. That's why he is fully enlightened. That's why he can be the wisest and the most virtuous living being in this world. Then in the salutation to the Buddha, we chant, Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddha. So the meaning is very important. Such indeed. Iti Peso Bhagava. He is the Bhagava, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Blessed means blessed with what? Blessed with virtue and wisdom. He is the worthy one because he is the Sammasambuddha, not only an Arahant. He is perfectly and fully enlightened. So he is worthy of respect, offering, gift, and hospitality. And the field of merits that come with such offering is immeasurable. So such indeed is the blessed one, the worthy one, then the fully enlightened one. So because of that, you have very strong faith in him. Then after that, he is the guide incomparable. Means as far as a guide to train humanity, not only mankind, to become enlightened, he is a guide incomparable. Nobody can be better than him. Nobody can compare to him because he is an exceptional being. Then he is the teacher of man and God. And he is endowed with all this great quality, no other world. He can understand everything that is possible within the human mind to understand. So all this will give you faith, will give you understanding. Then you will have great respect and great gratitude towards the Buddha. Then you will have this virya, the second spiritual faculty, to drive you to cultivate what he teach, the teaching. Because of his perfection, he has realized the complete truth and understanding of life. That's why he can summarize to you all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane. That's why the essence of his teaching, which is the Four Noble Truths, is very important. Because these are called Noble Truths, truth that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. If you understand this Noble Truth, you penetrate and realize the Noble Truth, then you can become noble ones or enlightened ones. Then the moment you are awakened, enlightened, this form and mind no longer deluded, it will not have any more suffering. It will understand life very clearly. It will no longer be deluded by the phenomenal world. It will no longer cling on to the five aggregate of form and mind. And this aggregate become pure aggregate. No more grasping aggregate. Because there is no more self-delusion, Sakaya Ditti. Then later on, even all the other fetters, they are all severed. There is no more ignorance. So when the mind is already awakened, wise, it does not think like before. It cannot be heedless anymore. The mind is always beautiful, bright and clear. There is clarity, there is awareness, there is heedfulness. Then this mind can understand life, can live life, and can become very beautiful. So when you understand that this teaching is so beautiful, it summarizes to you all of the secret of life, both mundane and supramundane, so that you understand clearly every aspect of mind. You come to know who you are, what the phenomenal world is all about, what the form of mind is all about, what the mind is capable of, what consciousness is all about, what are the content of consciousness, what is this so-called human being the Buddha called the five aggregate of form and mind, then the mental five aggregate, all this will become clear to you. Then when you have this understanding, your mind awakens, it insight into the characteristics of nature, of all phenomena within this universe. Their impermanent, suffering state and non-self or empty nature characteristic of anicchang, dukkang and anattam. So when you have this understanding, your mind is liberated, then it is free. Then you can understand life, you can live life to the fullest. You can experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. And for the first time in your life, you don't have to become unhappy anymore. You don't have to become afflicted anymore. You don't have to become miserable anymore. But the mind that has this understanding can stand above all worldly condition. So this is how you build up your faith. Then if you want to strengthen it until it becomes unshakable, then you have to put to test all of the Buddha's teaching. That's why all of my meditation centered on training the mind to be heedful, to be mindful, to see clearly all of your mental intention, to have this attentiveness and awareness or mindfulness to understand what is going on and to realize profoundly all the characteristics of nature. So because of that, this form of mind that have this realization will be different. Then this mindfulness will allow you to investigate into all his teaching, like Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. The Buddha said, if you want to understand life, it's very simple. If you follow Dhammapada verse 1, it leads to heedlessness. Suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hood. If you want to have happy life, then you have to avoid Dhammapada verse 1, follow Dhammapada verse 2, so that happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leaves you. Or then you come to this realization that this is beautiful. This is what living beings need. That's why you have to avoid all evil, good. Yeah. So Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 is the first two of the Dhammapada verse. It's a complementary verse. The Buddha said, your mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. If you do not train your mind, if you allow your mind to continue to be heedless, means you couldn't care less. You do what you like. Then this mind will act wrongly. It will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind, full of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. The Buddha says, such a being, suffering will follow him, like the hood, the wheel that follow the hood. You don't have to believe what the Buddha said. You investigate into it. Every time when you are selfish, greedy, lustful, what happened to you? Then every time when you are unhappy, angry, full of jealousy, full of what they call hatred, full of emotion, fear, worry, anxiety, what happened to you? All this you can put to test. That's why when people go through suffering or affliction, their mind state are so negative. And all this arises because they created a condition for it through their own heedlessness, through their own selfishness, the evil roots, because of their self-delusion. They attach to the form of mind. They cling on to this entity, which the Buddha calls Sakkayaditti, self-delusion, thinking that this is real, thinking that this is what you are. That's why you develop the personality, the egoic mind. Then you identify yourself with your name, with what people call you. Then you identify yourself with this physical body and this mind, with your views and opinion. Then you call yourself Chinese lady, or Buddhist, and all these things. So when you understand that this is delusion, you will not act this way. Because the Buddha said the moment you cling onto this and hold onto this and believe that this is you, then that Sakkayaditti, self-delusion, will create selfishness in you because you exist. Then what you do? You want to own, you want to possess, you want to have things. That's why there is selfishness, there is craving, there is desire, there is covetousness, there is lust. Then because you think you exist, when things don't go your way, you become emotional, you become fearful, you become angry. That's why you develop envy, jealousy. Then you worry about this body getting old, getting sick and dying because you think this is you. Then you attach to your feeling. You become so emotional until you are so sad, so miserable. Then you enter a depressive state, then into depression. That's how living being becomes afflicted. So it is through this lack of understanding of who you are, what you are, that suffering comes about because we deludedly believe this is what we are. So when you attach to your feeling, to think you perceive, like you say, my loved one, my house, my car, my property, my possession, my whatever thing that you hold on to dearly, then because they go the way of nature, like this body, if they start to get old, get sick, and one day die, if you are deluded, you think this is you, you become afflicted. Your loved one also same, they will go through old age, sickness and death. They may also go through accident and other things. So when things don't go your way, when your expectations are not met, you become afflicted, miserable, sad, unhappy. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, the same thing will arise. You will become unhappy. There is a lot of fear. There is a lot of sorrow when you recall the unhappy past. Then there are so many more things related to life, like your health problem, your financial problem, your career problem, your relationship problem with your loved ones. When they don't go your way, when they start to fall apart and give problem, then you develop a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, a lot of sorrow and lamentation because you grasp, you cling, you hold, you think they are very real. Then you say, these are my problem, what can I do? Then you hold. Like this thing is tormenting you, burning you, making you miserable. And yet you hold on to it and complain. Then people say, don't hold, don't attach, let go. You say, cannot, this is my problem, I have to solve it. You can solve it, but not by holding on to it, understand? Not by clinging on to it, not by grasping onto it. Because this one, through your wrong thought, when you cling and hold through your self-delusion, it is burning you, tormenting you, making you miserable. That's why in all my sharing, I say, you have to understand what is wrong thought. What are wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and your lamentation, your selfishness, your egoic mind, your emotion, your emotional negativity, your fear, your anxiety. So all these are wrong thoughts. Yeah. Then when you know they are not wrong thoughts, like the Buddha mentioned in the Sabbasava Sutta, things that are unfit for attention, don't pay attention. When you pay attention, what happens? The unarisen hindrance become more. Understand? The arisen also proliferate. That's why it make you miserable. Then, if you reflect and contemplate on things that are fit for attention, then what happens? The unarisen hindrance or wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action cannot arise. The reason will cease and subside. This is the one that you have to pay attention. And what are these? The Buddha said, this is the Four Noble Truths, the teaching, nothing else. That's why these are conducive for contemplation, reflection, Dhamma investigation. You do the three turning and develop the three types of corresponding wisdom. First turning will lead to Suttamaya Panya, wisdom born of hearing the Sutta, or nowadays you can even include the reading and hearing of the Sutta or the teaching. Then second learning is you reflect and contemplate and inquire into the Buddha's teaching, into what you have read and heard. And then it will arise another level of wisdom called Cittamaya Panya, wisdom born of reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into all this truth. Then you meditate, then you will arise the third type of wisdom. They call Bhavana Maya Panya. So the third turning is about meditation, wisdom born of Bhavana. That's why you look at the Four Noble Truths, you turn it three times, you will understand. Because like the first noble truth of suffering, prevalence of suffering, the reality of life and existence. The first noble truth, the Buddha just proclaimed this truth. He said, birth, old age, sickness and death is suffering. Separation from loved ones and your prized possession is suffering. When you are with people whom you don't like, is suffering. When you cannot get what you want, when your expectations in life are not met, that is suffering. Then the last one is, in short, the final summary, when you deludedly grasp and cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind, this grasping aggregate, they constitute suffering. Then you will reflect, contemplate, and develop the meditation to understand this first noble truth. Then the Buddha said, if you hear and understand, you will awaken. Like Kondanya, before he finished the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, Kondanya became a Sotapan, that is Suttamaya Panya. Let's say you are not awakened after the first turning, then you have to reflect, contemplate into this. How do you reflect and contemplate? Based on what the Buddha advised under the second turning. Under the second turning of the Four Noble Truths, what did the Buddha say? This noble truth of dukkha is to be what? Understood. Then your inquiry is what? Why did the Buddha say this? Why did he say this noble truth of suffering, which is the reality of life and existence, is to be understood? Why? Then the next question is how I can understand. Yeah. Why is very simple. Why must you understand suffering, this noble truth, the eight condition? If you don't understand what happened to you, what happened to you? What happened to you if you don't understand? You not only suffer, you suffer without understanding that you are suffering. That's what deluded living being and heedless living being, they are trapped. They suffer and yet they complain and blame others. And I said, that guy lah make me like that. My boss lah. My best friend, he cheated me. Or my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my in-law. They are still blaming, understand? Because they don't know what constitutes suffering. Suffering comes from you alone. The Buddha said very clearly, you are the cause of your own life destiny. because you are born of your karma, heritage, your karma condition, and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. Nobody make you miserable. You are miserable because of your own self-delusion, because you blame, you react, you stir your mind, you create evil roots, you arise all the hindrance of mind. You don't follow Noble Eightfold Path. You don't have the understanding of the Four Noble Truths. Yeah. That's why when you start to develop this understanding, you realize, no wonder the Buddha said, this Noble Truth of Dukkha is to be understood. I have to understand this. Otherwise, I will suffer without understanding that I'm suffering. Because I don't understand what suffering is. It's just like you hold on to this red hot thing. It burns you, it torments you. But if it's red hot, you will know that. Then you will quickly put it down. Let's say this is very hot. You will straight away put down. Nobody need to tell you. You just put it down. Like you eat chili too hot, you will not touch it. But when it's mental suffering, you don't see. It is not burning you and tormenting you at the physical level, no, or at tactile level, no. You are not burned physically, no, but you are burned mentally. No. You become so stressful, so fearful, so miserable, so unhappy, so sorrowful, so full of hatred, envy and jealousy and all these things. Then you grasp, you cling, and your mind becomes so afflicted. You cannot see, but it is not physically burning you and tormenting you. And like the Buddha said, these are evil root, root of all evil. It makes you evil. That's why you will fall karmically. That's why you don't train your mind to be ever mindful, to identify your mental intention behind every action, speech, and thought process. You will not be able to cultivate this teaching. First, you must understand what constitutes evil. That's why the three evil rule is the first essential Dhamma. If you don't understand what constitutes evil, then you cannot meditate, you cannot cultivate. You develop mindfulness, also no use. You cannot be mindful of the evil roots that has arisen. That's why the Buddha said, you have the four right effort to deal with your thought first. First right effort is what? Right effort to what? Abandon what? All of your wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action that has arisen. Okay? You don't even know what is wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and how you cultivate that right effort. Wrong means what? Has evil mental intention. Has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. But what constitutes greed? You must understand. What constitutes greed? Now we discuss this. So that you really understand. Otherwise, you only hold on to that word. Then you think only greedy people has greed. Correct? Only greedy people has greed. Logical. Selfish people got greed. All your selfishness is also greed. And that one is a very, very wide scope. And that one you can see clearly throughout the day, every day, every moment, every instant, you manifest that selfishness. Everything you do, you don't believe me, you check before you have the wisdom. You always weigh for me or not for me. Understand? Advantage or no advantage. For my family or beneficial to my family or not beneficial to my family or to my race, my religion, my own countrymen. Or my school, my team, and all these things. So all these are based on selfishness, egoic mind. Then not only selfishness alone, all of your lustfulness, all of your covetousness, all of your desire, your lust, your pleasant experience, these are all craving. As I Buddha said, there are three types of craving, which is greed. Craving to be and craving not to be. Then there's another sensual craving craving for the sense experience that you arise with every moment of seeing consciousness, every moment of hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile feeling, thing. These six sense door, they manifest sense door consciousness. That's why the Buddha said, if you are not at peace at the moment of sense experience, if you don't have yoniso, manasikara, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, then what happens? Your mind cannot be peaceful. Right? There is no equanimity there. You cannot see things as they are. You cannot accept them for what they are. Your mind will stir. Then what happens? You create duality, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. Then you have desire and negative craving. Means positive and negative craving. So this is what the mental hindrance is all about. Sensual desire and ill will arise because you don't have wisdom. You don't have yoniso manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience. That's why you don't have that true right view, true straightening your view. You cannot cultivate daily mindfulness. You cannot come to terms with the reality of life and existence. You will continue to stir your mind. Then what happens? You do that very often throughout the day. That's why the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead. Because you become so heedless throughout the day, you just stir your mind, react. Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. Craving to be and not to be. If you do this so often, it becomes habitual tendency. Understand? Then all this become like automatic, habitual. You know? People say something only, you react already. Especially at home. Your children talk to you. Or you talk to your spouse. Then your children will tell you, Daddy, Daddy, enough, I know what you're going to say. Or Mommy, enough. Or your husband will say, you also same, you don't try to pandai-pandai say all this thing. Because they have been hearing this and they respond very fast. Instead of appreciating what you have done and contributed to the welfare of the family and all those things, they only recall what the habitual tendency of wanting to be right. Then they every time argue back. Or they just tell you, I ask you to do this, you just do, you don't question. So, out of anger, out of emotion, because maybe in the office, you don't have good moments. Then you come back, you carry this emotion and unhappiness back to your house. Then you cannot have what they call good mind, peaceful mind, Dhamma mind, wholesome mind. You carry this negativity back. Then later on, if anything happen, you just react, stir and become angry and violent. Then you somehow warn people, I already have enough problem in the office, don't give me more problem. Is that the way to live life? That is not the way to live life. Then just now, like I say, wrong thought. If you think all those wrong thoughts, it will lead to all your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, and the evil root. Which means you don't understand life. You don't understand thought. You don't know how to use thought. Your form and mind is karmically conditioned out for you to use. Like this body, you use it to help you to move around like a vehicle. Then your mind, which is given to you through birth, this one is for you to use as a tool. T-O-O-L. You know a tool, like a knife. How you use it? You use it to cut veggies, shape fruits, or do carving, or do the thing you want to do. But if you are so deluded, you use this tool to cut yourself, harm yourself, and hurt yourself, and hit our elders. This is delusion, isn't it? Foolishness, isn't it? Use the tool wrongly, isn't it? But human being is precisely doing that with their own thought, understand? They think the wrong thought and make themselves miserable, sorrowful, fearful. That is using the thought wrongly to arise the wrong thought, to torture themselves, to harm themselves, and to make themselves miserable. At the end of the day, they never reflect. It's only a thought. How come it has such power to make you so miserable? So full of suffering and affliction. That's why if you don't reflect, contemplate, and develop the mindfulness and the spiritual faculty, you cannot understand all this. You suffer without knowing why you suffer. You create constantly all the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood because you lack the essential Dhamma and mindfulness. Okay? So that faith from that question, you will lead to all this understanding. When you have faith, you can develop the great respect and gratitude towards the Buddha. Then you will have a lot of faith that will drive you to cultivate. Then you develop sati, mindfulness, first factor of enlightenment. Then you use it to investigate Dhamma, second factor of enlightenment. Then when the Dhamma stand up to investigation, like I mentioned just now, Dhamma Pada verse 1 and 2, the Four Noble Truths, you realize the Buddha is so wise. Everything is exactly according to what he said, the three turning arrows. Then your faith becomes unshakable. That's why faith alone bring forth the teaching. And the teaching is just so simple. But living beings cannot understand because they do not understand the actual teaching. Nowadays, teaching are taught in different ways, you know. In a very, very, I should say, traditional way, you know. Very academic, you know. Very scholastic. You know. Their teaching is geared toward passing exam, you know. And the Pali test and the entrance exam, and what they test you on, what knowledge, memory, but not on actual application of the Dhamma, not on actual understanding of what this Buddha Dhamma is all about. How can it bring forth the understanding to transform living beings so that they can become beautiful, so that they can develop all this virtue, wisdom, and understanding to be a blessing to all of humanity, the world. So all this is what the teaching is all about. And the teaching is given free. This is the only free lunch in this universe, I think. Nothing else is free. Then like the Buddha shared with us, is it? It is because of delusion, through not understanding this Four Noble Truth, that living being has to come back to this world or to this universe to be reborn time and time again for eternity. The moment there is birth, the Buddha said, there will be old age, sickness and death. There will be suffering. So birth will lead to all this. So if you want to transcend life, you have to transcend birth. That's why this teaching can allow you to develop the wisdom and the understanding to cease from having to come back into this world, from coming back to samsara. The wheel of birth and death, you can end it, you can stop it. If only you can awaken to it, develop the wisdom and the understanding. Okay? Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, any more questions? What's the time now? Oh, still early. 10 o'clock. We still got half an hour. Anybody else want to report meditation? Oh, 9:54. Still got half an hour. Ah yes, Brother Pang, good. He always got question on Sadhu.
What Brother Pang has shared.
Sadhu, Sadhu. Yeah, you can rejoice means you got good understanding. I also rejoice. Sadhu to you. Repeated many times, but didn't go in. You repeat, You better use the mic. This will help in the recording.
Now, in terms of understanding, I think this is where many probably will miss it. But understanding can only come when if you really investigate into what you hear and what you experience and relate it back to your experience of all the thought processes that actually arise in you on a daily basis. It is very difficult. I tried doing that and I find it very, very, very difficult. Only at certain times that we are able to do it. Maybe Brother Teo can share with us how can we strengthen this and develop this further to improve our understanding so that we can really live our lives meaningfully.
Okay, thank you so much, yeah, Brother Pang. Like I said, you all should rejoice. Yeah, this is very good question, come from somebody who cultivate. Like Brother Pang said, he rejoiced with what I shared just now, because what I shared just now is very beautiful, very concise, but the meaning is very deep. And to really, really develop the clear understanding is not easy. Without the clear understanding, you cannot put it to practice, understand? That's why there are three phases of Dhamma. Three phases of Dhamma, you know, Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda. It's all in the Heart Sutta note. Phase one is Pariyatti, which is learning of the doctrine. You can read the text, you can listen to Dhamma talk, you can listen to my recording. That's why you don't do this, to straighten your view, to develop the understanding of what this teaching is, means you haven't done Pariyatti. If there is no Pariyatti, you cannot go to phase two. Phase two is what? Patipatti. What is Patipatti? Not go Patti and Patti. Patipatti is putting this teaching into practice, into cultivation. And like Brother Pang said, he realized this. He has been hearing this same beautiful teaching many, many times, even in the recording and all those things. But even after he heard and developed the understanding of what this thing is, then he wants to put it into practice, which is the second phase of Dhamma. Not easy, he realized. It's very difficult, yeah, because it has to be continuously developed through daily mindfulness in the midst of life, which he know, but he say it's very difficult. That's why he said, even though this beautiful teaching of the Buddha has been repeated many times, recorded, luckily recorded, sometimes even transcript also produced, but some are really lazy to even read the transcript. What more if they don't listen? But I realize there are quite a number of Kayanamita who progress very fast. You know who are these people? No? They are the one that chase Sui An for the recording. These are the people that will progress. They are the one that listen attentively to the recording. And many, many of them progress very, very fast. Because when you listen attentively, you actually reflect, contemplate on what is being spoken. But when you attend my talk, it's very difficult to understand unless your mind has this understanding ready to receive. Even you are ready to receive, you cannot recall what you hear, understand? Go back, the rest of the day you are heedless. Or maybe the other 6 days you are heedless. Then come back, wait for Thursday class, listen again. It is of not much benefit, understand? Reason being, like the Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. The moment you are heedless, spiritually you are seated. So how can you cultivate meditation when you come for class 2 hours or go retreat 9 days, 10 days, 1 month? Then after that, throughout the day, when you are back to your daily life, you are most of the time healers. You cannot maintain this mindfulness training. You cannot maintain this mind that is already trained, the sati, the mindfulness. You cannot be ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path leading to wisdom and insight throughout the day. If you cannot do that, you cannot progress. That's why I always tell you, the real meditation is after you have trained your mind, use this mind that has been trained to live life, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path leading to all the understanding and the awakening. You have to constantly reflect and contemplate the Dhamma, the three turning. That's why if you really want to progress, my advice is have a good religious routine so that throughout the day you can be heedful, mindful to develop the cultivation. And I use the word, if you are serious about life, this cultivation is very easy, but it is a full-time job. Full-time job doesn't mean you don't have to give up your career, resign and go full-time, not like that. Full-time is continuously cultivating, practicing, developing this mindfulness, this heedfulness, so that you can develop sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension in every movement, every action of your life process. But in the midst of life, you are ever mindful, heedful. And that is what is meant by full-time. Means you have to constantly train your mind, cultivate, develop the spiritual faculty, then meditate. That's why the Buddha said meditation can be done in any posture. While sitting, standing, walking, lying down, you can meditate. While going through life, while working, even when answering nature's call, you can develop mindfulness. The four foundation of mindfulness is always within your form and mind. That's why the Buddha in the Dhammapada was mentioned clearly. He said within this phantom-length body along with perception, mindfulness and wisdom, it proclaims the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation in the world, of the world, and the path that lead to that cessation. Means within this phantom length body, along with perception, thought, and mindfulness, it actually developed the training of the mind to awaken to the Four Noble Truths. So this has to be done with understanding. That's why without pariyatti, you cannot start. Like I said, you cannot meditate without understanding, then you become gullible. You believe what people tell you, you never put to test. You never develop the clear understanding. But when you have developed the clear understanding, meditation becomes very simple. Because you meditate with understanding. Then you know the five mental hindrance is the one causing you trouble. What you need to cultivate is the opposite five, the spiritual faculty. That's why all of the Buddha's teachings start with very basic puja to develop the spiritual faculty. And when the puja develop the faith, the virya, then the sati will follow. Then you determine to cultivate, to train your mind. Then the four foundation of mindfulness will come in. Then you can expand this cultivation into life. That's why the Buddha said, start with training your mind. First foundation of mindfulness, kaya nupassana, anapanasati, basic training. You train to be mindful of your inner and outer breath so that you can be mindful. Stabilize it, then it becomes ever mindful. After that, don't continue with anapanasati, the Buddha said. Move on to the next category of practice. What is the second category of practice? Develop mindfulness of what? Four posture. Very good. Four posture means you have to develop this mindfulness throughout the day whenever you are standing. Aware, sitting, aware, walking, aware. Human beings' problem, sitting, sleep, or watch TV, think a lot. Then walking, think a lot. And then standing also, look here, look there. Never peaceful, never aware. Lying down was straight away, either you sleep, you snore, or you cannot sleep. You got insomnia. So human being problem is, in the four posture, they are never mindful, never heedful. They think a lot, they worry a lot. Eating also worry. Come home also worry. Human being got so much thing to worry about. And if you understand the Dhamma, you will tell yourself how foolish living being can be. You're supposed to live life, right or not? Yeah? Make use of the whiteboard. Oh, thank you so much. I didn't know you prepared a bit for me. Just now, I could have done the lying down meditation, but I was telling myself 5 minutes only, don't have much time. So you have to live life, Anasara. That is beautiful, isn't it? If you live life, you don't have to. What? Don't have to? Worry about life, put in red color. So that it will remind you. So you must understand the difference between these two, understand? Oh, sorry. sorry. Live, not life. Life is also important, but live. You know the difference between living and worrying, When you worry, what happens? What happens when you worry about life? Are you peaceful? Are you happy? When you worry, you got a lot of fear, a lot of restlessness. All these are evil root, hindrance. Then it won't solve your problem, understand? It makes you worse, understand? This fear, worry, anxiety are negative energy field. It will lower your immune system. That's why you become sick, disease. That's why people develop cancer and all those things. But when you live life, you got so much joy, You know what they say, live life to the fullest. Can you do that? Oh, why you shake your head and say cannot? Because you worry a lot, Why do you worry? You worry about your own health. You worry about your finance, You worry about money. You worry about your career, your job, your relationship with others. Then you worry about your own, what they call children. Then later, grandchildren. Oh. And later on, your parents, your brother, your sister, and all those that have relations. Sometimes you say, my good friend, no, I want to help, I cannot help. Then you keep on having this worry. So what you do when you have fear, worry, anxiety? You become miserable, stressful. You got not enough rest. You cannot recuperate. Well, you never meditate. When you live life means what? You do the thing that you want to do. Understand? You travel. You live. Be with the moment to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. And nowadays life is so beautiful. So full of beauty and meaning. And you don't know how to live. Do you know nowadays our society, we are so blessed, Of course, you must have some good merits to have the money and the means as well. You can have good food. You can travel to good places, beautiful places. The whole world is open to you. Even the TV, you can see all the programs as well. Such beautiful program. But why are you not living life and enjoying all this thing and living all this possibility? Instead, every day, they say your face like full of sorrow and lamentation and worry about life. What are you doing? Means you don't love yourself. You make yourself miserable through what? Through your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. This is what attachment is all about. In Cantonese, it's called chấp chấp. Because you cling, you grasp, you give meaning to things that are not supposed to help you. Things that are not useful, that you should not pay attention to under Sabbasavaksutta. Things that are unfit for attention, don't pay attention. That's why don't go and worry about this, worry about that. But these are the reality of life and existence. Reality means what? Each and every living being, you live long enough, you will experience them, like health problem, financial problem, relationship problem, career problem, life-related problem. Everybody has to go through. When the time comes, it will arise. Then when it arises, you know how to handle it, means what? You don't worry about life and problem. You solve problem. Then you move on. Understand? How do you solve problem? Very easy. If I don't worry, my mind is peaceful. Right? If I don't blame, don't react and get angry, I'm peaceful. When I'm peaceful, I got clarity. Then I can act. Understand? Then I can ask, what actually happened? What are my options? How can I resolve all these things amicably? Then how can I move on to live life so that I don't have to worry about life? Because no amount of worry can solve your problem. Always remember that. Understand? Not? No amount of worry can solve your problem. This worry leads to fear. Anxiety can only make you more and more miserable and unhappy. So why are you so foolish? Then you didn't tell yourself. It's only a thought. How come it has such power to make me so miserable? Then what did the Buddha say? Use the thought as a tool wisely. Means arise the right thought, not the wrong thought. Wrong thought lead to fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, and the evil root. Right thought means what? Yeah? What are right thoughts? Thought that brings about happiness, joy, harmony, peace, love. These are all right thoughts. Virtuous thought, good thought. Understand? Not? Generosity. Think of how to help people, how to donate to building funds, Supanjaya Buddhist Association. You can do so much wholesomeness. You go and worry about money. Understand? Not? And I complain. My son, useless. Use so much of my money. But you got the means to donate and be happy, you don't want to do. When he squander of your money because in the past, through karma, you owe him, you don't know. Now become your son, willingly you give and he take back what you took from him previous life. So this is the law of karma. And then you complain, you grumble. How come my son like that? How come my children like that? Then you compare. How come other people is so blessed? Means what? You don't live life. You not only worry about life, you complain about life. You complain too much. So those who complain, worry, and do all those foolish things, they don't understand life. That's why they become afflicted. They become miserable. They suffer so much. And they suffer without knowing that they are suffering. Because they don't know what is this noble truth of suffering. And they also don't know the second noble truth, which is the cause of arising of suffering. The Buddha mentioned very clearly under the second noble truth. What is the second noble truth? There is a cause behind all suffering. He said the first noble truth reality when you confront, when you become afflicted, there is a cause behind. And what is the cause? Yeah? And the teaching just say craving is the cause of suffering. Then he never teach you what the thing is. Then you try to imagine what craving is. Then you heard the three words, craving for existence and non-existence, craving of the senses. Then you even Pali also, is it karma tangha, bhava tangha, vibhava tangha. Ask you what is it? Cannot answer. That is not Dhamma, that is knowledge. Understand? You can answer, so what? You don't know how to relate to life. And you don't understand what is all this. Because the funny part about this teaching is that I go all over last time. I never hear people explain clearly the teaching. It's just like Noble Eightfold Path. All these path factors, I hardly hear anybody explain they only explain to you some basic thing. Even for right effort, they just tell you only right effort to abandon, right effort to prevent it from arising, and right effort to what they call maintain. Worse still, they use the word maintain, whatever goodness that you have. Then right effort to cultivate whatever goodness that you that is still not in you. Just like that, finish. Then a lot of things like what constitute right thought, never teach. They only quote the text. When you have loving kindness, the four Brahma Vihara, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity, then you have right thought. Right thought is a lot more than this. These are the four, what they call Brahma Vihara, or abiding of the Brahmas. And they are beautiful mind state. But right thought constitute a lot more than this. What are right thought? All your virtuous thought, thought of generosity, sincerity, gratitude, respect, contentment. All this lead to wholesomeness, no negativity. Lead to beautiful mind state, good karma, good merits. And this is what cultivation is all about. All of your gentleness, pleasantness, kindness, goodness, generosity, all this will lead to right thought. Then it bring about harmony, bring about love, bring about understanding, relationship become beautiful when you have all this. Then you have right speech, gentle, pleasant, and good speeches. Not necessarily eloquent, good speeches means what? Speeches that bring about understanding, help people, console people, help them overcome their sorrow, their lamentation, and their problem. Help them to straighten their view, help them to understand the teaching. Help them to bring about real transformation or change. Okay, can follow. So now you want to live life or worry about life or complain about life. If you put one stroke here. You don't have to worry and complain about life. Most of the time people do all this, they complain a lot, they worry a lot, and they comment a lot. comment a lot. They call it KPC. Very talkative. But when you have the number, you become beautiful. You are incapable of cheating people, deceiving people, taking advantage of people. You are incapable of lying, partaking intoxicants and all those things, or commit all those sexual misconduct that can lead to separation. People who do that are really deluded, because a happy family unit can just be destroyed because of one moment of lust, craving, desire. This is how living beings get into trouble. So to fully answer your question, I already mentioned the constant cultivation of phase one pariyatti means you have to read up, contemplate, reflect, like what Brother Song went through recently. Despite his understanding, he still do that. Whenever you want to understand anything, he read my Heart Sutta notes, and all the answer is there. We are over a period of 15 months of profound sharing. They are all summarized there. Then he listened to my sharing. A lot of Kayamita listen to my sharing, and they progress very fast. You look at Alicia, you look at Christina, they all, you look at even Ng Bi, they all, and Mi Fong, Sui An, and all this Kayamita. I don't know about Klang Sai. I think maybe England and Susan, they all, they listen. But you must listen to the sharing. If you have problem with the Dropbox, ask Sui An, he can help you. Because these are very important, like I said just now. If you listen like that, chances you cannot remember. Because you know it's very beautiful, but you cannot repeat it. And you cannot repeat it means you have not understood it. Then you cannot put it to practice. But when you listen again, I can tell you, many Kayamita tell me, but you is so different. No? I thought I have listened. No? But when I listen again, there is so much more thing inside there that I didn't really heard of at that time. Then as you cultivate, you listen again, different again. Because when your understanding become better, the same Dhamma talk or sharing, it is applicable to people of all level, whatever level of your understanding, even enlightened being will appreciate, because it's meant for all. So the listening to this sharing is very important. This is actually first turning, leading to second turning. Then you reflect on what I say, contemplate on it and inquire, then put it into practice. So initially when you listen, you can pause. No? Like, not like when you are here, you cannot pause. No? The talk has to finish by 10:30. No? There, you can take your own sweet time in the office, put in the earplug, the hearing aid. Then you just listen, you won't disturb anybody. Then you develop so much joy. People used to tell me, there is so much joy. Then they understand so much clearer and more in-depth. Then you read my transcript, then you listen, then you realize a lot of the word last time you thought is this word, but actually it's another word. And then when you read the transcript, wow, the meaning becomes so clear, so beautiful. Yeah. That's why listening, understand, then write down what you have to do. And then you follow the daily religious routine. Before you sleep, try to do the meditation. Then after that, share merit, transfer merit, then sleep. Then when you wake up, immediately pay respect, triple gem, then do your religious routine. You can start out by paying respect, triple gem, then do the puja chanting, short one. Then after that, meditate for 10, 15 minutes or 20 minutes. And then go to your toilet, do what you have to do. But if you wake up early, you need to go to the toilet and answer nature's call, you go first. Then after that, only you start your puja or meditation. It's very useful. And many of these Kayamita who progress all follow religious routine. They in between when you are at home or when you go out of your house, develop daily mindfulness. Then as you come down from your house, you have an altar, pay respect. Before you go out, pay respect. Then when you come in, again pay respect. You go to any temple, first thing, pay respect. Make it into a good routine so that your mind is always with the spiritual faculty. Because when you pay respect, you have faith. You recall to mind the great virtue and wisdom of Lord Buddha. Then you have a lot of gratitude, respect. Then you rejoice with his wholesomeness, the teaching, the sharing. Then when you pay respect mindfully, you develop mindfulness. Then your mind becomes very calm, very composed, very different. Then throughout the day, you move and act with mindfulness. That's how you will reverse the way you live your life. From a heedless way where you worry a lot, complain a lot, become very heedless, to a heedful way of living where you are most of the time very calm, very peaceful, aware without thought, little or no thought. When you need to arise a thought, it will arise. When you don't need, it will be peaceful. That's why this is called a trained mind. Trained mind is what? The mind listen to me. And I want it to be silent, silent, peaceful. If I want to arise the mind, I will arise. You want to use it, I will use it. And this is what the trained mind is. It's just like when you play any game, badminton or what. If you already skillful, trained already, what happened? You have complete control over the shuttlecock. You want to serve low, it go low. You want to serve high, it go high. You want to return the baseline, it go baseline. It listen to you. That's why it serve you. It become your servant. Earlier on, it's the other way around. Your thought become your master. You become deluded by what the thought tell you. And the more you believe the thought, more miserable you become. The thought asks you to worry about life, you worry about life. The thought project and create fear, and you become miserable, fearful. And the thought say, this guy cheating you, be careful. Then there is fear, worry, anxiety. Then there is anger, hatred. You perceive that guy with that type of negativity. So all this is what your thought tell you, and if you are not careful, not mindful, you will be deluded by it. And when you have the understanding, the wisdom and the mindful, when you see all this clearly, then you tell yourself, my life, I have an option. I decide to be happy or to be unhappy. It's entirely my choice, isn't it? Because each and every one of us, we hold the key to our own life destiny, true or not? So if that is the case, then why are you not happy? It's so easy. If I choose to be happy, I will be happy, isn't it? But why is living being most of them not happy? You tell me the reason why. Don't tell me they don't know how to choose. Huh? They know how to choose. But they don't know the Dhamma. That's why they choose the wrong thing. They choose to worry about life, thinking by worrying, they can solve their problem. I heard a lot of the people who are depressed, they tell me, but tell you, I don't worry, what can I do? They tell you like that. Yeah, these people make me like that. I got such thing. I look at them. How come I don't have that problem? Only you have that problem. To me, life is so beautiful. Understand? I got so many good karamita and friends. We have Dhamma session. We have such good, beautiful sharing. And oh, my, so beautiful. Instead of at home complaining, worrying, and doing all those funny things. Understand? Then alone at home also fear. Then when your loved one come back, argue, get angry, complain, that create misunderstanding. This is not life, understand? You must learn how to love and appreciate them for what they have done for you. They are your spouse, or they contribute a lot to the family. That's why if you want to have Dhamma, you must have virtue. Learn to be appreciative of life. Learn to have gratitude towards what people have done for you. Learn to express the love, the gratitude towards them. I tell you, they will be very happy. They will like you like mad. And the son. Oh, your son. Good. Okay, yeah. Sadhu. Oh, 10:30. That's why you must have virtue. When you have love, when you have kindness, sincerity, gentleness, you become beautiful. When you can appreciate life and express this gratitude and appreciation to your loved one, I tell you, they will be very happy. You can tell them, hey, honey, thank you so much. You have helped out so much. You sacrificed so much for us. Every day, you take care of the household. You prepare all meals. You send the children this. I tell you, your wife will love you like mad. No pay also, they work for you. He come back, complain here, complain there, scold here, scold there, throw tantrum, they walk out the house. And you think your wife, no emotion on her. He also said, well, this fellow, I tell you, sacrifice so much for him, also no point. What for? Let him learn his lesson. Then he go on strike. Don't want to cook, don't want to wash your clothes. He also go enjoy life, call up the friend and go for what they call lunch. Nice coffee. Then you complain, switch your phone, don't want to listen, make you more angry. Because that is your choice, you make her like that, understand? But when you know how to attend to her, I tell you, your life becomes beautiful. She sacrificed for you without having you to worry about the household. And you don't have to pay them. You hire maid also have to pay, agency fee, and a lot of complaints and problems. This one, free. They used to tell me a joke. He said, each and every man who married, they got a freehold property. The rest is the maid or lease one. You see, where can you find a wife who do all this for you, sacrifice all this for you, and didn't ask for a single cent to be compensated or paid? Someday they even help in the household, understand? And you don't have gratitude towards them. But also same, similarly, likewise, the husband also work a lot, go out and bring back the what they call the man of the house, bring back and support the family, sacrifice for the family. So husband and wife team, if you know how to live in harmony with great understanding, your family unit become beautiful. Then you really have the love, you appreciate, you have this gratitude towards each other because you understand and appreciate their sacrifice, anasana, their contribution. And all this will bring for good life, good family unit, and a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. It cut down a lot of those unnecessary argument, quarrel, misunderstanding. Then don't always like look forward to think they cannot get what you want, then become unhappy. Sometimes they forget your birthday, or you become very, very unhappy. Especially they say anniversary. They give hint, today we go out for dinner. Then the husband, you know, cannot remember. Why every time go out and eat at home lah? Well, the wife that night, I tell you, sure unhappy. Okay, we better end. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then we can make the invocation. We invoke the blessing for the nation. Then you make your aspiration. Okay, sharing our merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Okay, we will do the transfer of merits to our departed ones. Itang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Itang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Itang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Now we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampatihi tuca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Now you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish but only the wise and the enlightened one until nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end. Okay, let us thank Brother Chim and Sister Ingby for allowing us to use the place for our Thursday class in the usual way. Sadhu, 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 and all Kayamita, including Brother Chim and Ingby's family, who has prepared for the puja and make the puja a wonderful sharing puja. We rejoice so much when we develop all the causes and conditions to have our sharing with a beautiful offering. So we rejoice too. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah.
Thank you, Radio. Dear brothers and sisters in the Dhamma, let us express our gratitude and respect to Brother Teo for coming all the way from SS2 to our house here in SS18 to share the Buddha Dhamma with us with great compassion and great metta, loving kindness. Let us say sadhu 3 times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And I thank our Brother Siu Lun for fetching Brother Teo. Brother Seyong. Okay, Brother Seyong, for fetching Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo and accompanied by Brother Siu Lun together to this Thursday class Dhamma sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Like what Brother Teo said, I thank also all those Kalyanamitas for bringing fruits, biscuits, flowers by Sister Padmasuri. And I thank you all for bringing the offering items to sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And then there's something I think Rajim want to say. Yeah. You say Brother Chuan or what? Something like that.
I just received a call from Brother Chuan, Teck Poon. I'm not too sure whether you all know him or not. His father just passed away in Ipoh, and I think he's going back tomorrow, you know. Still not too sure what they're going to do. I will just try to see whether I can get a Theravada monks for the family to perform the weekend funeral chanting for the family. But in the meantime, for those of you who know him, it would be good just send a condolence message to give him the encouragement to. Yep. Oh. Yeah. Anyway, also I would like to say a big thank you to all of you a big sadhu to all of you for coming for this session. Yeah, and. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
So please help to have some food that most of you all bring, and then help to cut maybe, cut the dragon fruits, and then share. Please bring back something. Last Thursday class I forgot to prepare plastic. Today I prepared already. Please bring back something. Thank you. Yeah.